Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus from York College, City University of New York. Welcoming you to this March 14th Women's History Month edition of Vantage Point, featuring phenomenal black women here on WBAI 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right, the York College radio station is plugged in to these conversations. Well, today, well, last week we got off to a rousing start with our phenomenal black women series with none other than Betty Dobson. And we're actually going to replay her narration of Fannie Lou Hamer's tribute, or narration of Fannie Lou Hamer's testimony at the 1964 Democratic National Black National Democratic Convention later in the show. But today, our feature will be none other than Dr. Brenda Green. Dr. Brenda Green is the phenomenal black woman for today, professor and chair of the English Department and at Medgar Evers College, and founder of the Center for Black Literature, as well as the director of the world-renowned Black Writers Conference. So she'll be joining us momentarily as our phenomenal black woman interview for today. Now, we're also going to be pitching WBAI Buddies. This is a two-hour edition, so we're going to really, really hope that you will join us in what I think at least 20 WBAI Buddies lined up for today. And so we're going to do two things. We'll have audience call in, so you'll be able to give your tributes to Betty Dobson, which we didn't get done last week, but also get a chance to call in and do your tributes to Dr. Brenda Green as well. Or you can just name your phenomenal black woman as well. But as it relates to the WBAI Buddies, and I hope we can get at least 20 today, there's a very special package that's been put together. I don't know what's gotten into our general manager and the program directors. They're giving away everything. If you sign up as a WBAI Buddy for just $15 or more, that's $15 per month or more, then you are going to receive an amazing package. The gift offering to the listeners will be a 1 gigabyte women's history collection and a WBAI tote bag with a WBAI Buddy sustaining membership, again, of $15 or more. But that flash drive, that flash drive includes everything. I mean, they have Molly Ivins in here, Dolores Huerta, Amy Goodman, Remembering Coretta Scott King and Langston Hughes, The Power of African-American Women, Miriam Makeba, Odetta, Blues Legacy and Black Families. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. I mean, goodness, this is a tremendous premium. And all you have to do is sign up for $15 per month or more by credit card, debit card, attached to your savings account. They will make arrangements for you. Now, like everything, I never ask you to go where I'm not prepared to lead. So therefore, I'm already a WBAI Buddy. And so when some of you call in with your tributes later on, you can also indicate whether you are a WBAI Buddy as well. But we want to get at least 20 today, at least 20. And, you can start anytime. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950 is where those pledges can go. Or you can go to give2wbai.org. Give2wbai.org. But we'll have plenty of time after our interview with the Dr. Brenda Green in order for to. I'll be begging. I'll be doing my James Brown imitation, trying to get those 20 people at least to be WBAI buddies. Now it is my pleasure to welcome to WBAI once again, as I said before, Dr. Brenda Green. She is professor and chair of the English Department at Medgar Evers College, and she's also the founder and director for the Center for Black Literature at Medgar Evers, and also founder and the director of the Black Writers Conference, which is well world-renowned. And that's why we wanted to have her come on as our phenomenal black woman. And let me just say something about her. She's slightly built, a little on the short side, but boy, is she serious. I will never forget, and she may have to help me recall this. There was something going on at Megar Evers. I don't know whether there was about this, the certification or whatever that process is called, or something about the successor to the president or whatnot. And it was threatening. And who should step in and was calling the meetings and saying, this is not going to go down in our community? None other than Dr. Brenda Green. She was strong and firm and stayed on it until such time as victory was achieved. So with that introduction, I would like to welcome to our WBA audience, Dr. Brenda Green. Dr. Green, welcome to Vantage Point.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Daniels. You are someone who is a phenomenal man. And, you know, we talk about phenomenal women. But I appreciate you providing me with an opportunity to share what we're doing at Megar Evers College, a place I like to think of that I've grown up at, a place that I'm very, very committed to.
Right.
And we're doing some exciting things. We have a new president, Dr. Patricia
Ramsey.
We don't want to
get into the president stuff. I see that always happens. Y'all want to get into the program. I want to talk about Dr. Brenda Green first, right? And then we'll get into the president and the program and all that stuff.
Okay.
And so I want to start really with the background. I want to start with, who is Dr. Brenda Green? Where were you born? A little bit about your family, influences. Are you originally from the People's Republic of Brooklyn, or did you come from somewhere else? That's where I want to start.
Well, actually, I was born in Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. My father was in the Korean War. So I was born on an army base, and we moved to the Bronx and Brooklyn and spent my childhood in Springfield Gardens, Queens, and then back to the People's Republic of Brooklyn, where I stayed. I am currently living in Brooklyn. I went to high school in Brooklyn, and I attended New York University and Hunter College for my undergraduate and graduate degrees. So I grew up, I am the oldest.
Okay.
My mother had three girls, and like many, many strong black women, she ensured that we were all strong and we were independent. And one of her favorite sayings was, God may have and father may have, but God bless the child who has his own. So she taught us to be strong and independent, but also caring. And she stressed the importance of family. And so I have a number of nieces and nephews, and we always gather together in the name of family and really try to care for and take care of each other. I have six grandchildren, two sons and six grandchildren. I'm very, very blessed.
Oh, wow, wow. And tell us a bit about your mother. Was she just a housekeeper? Was she an educator?
My mother actually worked in the bank for years. She worked as a clerk in the bank, but she was a fiery woman. And she retired actually when she was 55 years old and didn't like it, and then went back to work at Polytech University for a while, working in purchasing. And then when she retired, she just insisted, I'm going to live my life and travel the world. She went on many, many trips. She was ecstatic about President Obama.
Right.
She had a major collection on her wall. And we lost her about 3 years ago. She put up a good fight. We lost her to heart disease.
Right. And what about your father?
My parents separated when I was young. We lost my father about 6 years ago, and I call my father the armchair intellectual, because my father was the one who really, really got me very much involved in reading. He loved to debate and talk about philosophy and religion. From my graduation, he gave me a book on ancient Africa, my high school graduation. He came to every program that I did at Mega Rivers College, writers conferences. He would always make sure he came to the program. When I began doing my radio show, Writers on Writing, and interviewing writers, he taped every show. So that was, you know, I was talking to Dr. Farah Jasmine Griffin about daughters and their fathers. And I think that was a special relationship I had with my father, who really helped to spur that intellectual growth for me.
Right. And was he college educated, or was he like
no,
me?
No, he was. He self-taught.
I was going to say self-taught.
He actually was self-taught and ended up becoming an instructor around technology. He was a technical writer. And he became an instructor while he was in the service, and then ended up working for a number of corporations and teaching technical skills and technical writing skills. But he was just a lover of knowledge and music and science and technology.
Right. And influences. Obviously, you are someone who are very, very dedicated to black people, and you have a great resolve. Are there others along the way who were influential in helping to shape your social justice activism, or
growing up in the 60s? I ended up going to New York University in 1968, the year that King died, you know, at the height of the Black Power and Black Arts Movement, became very much involved in the student programs and Black Studies at NYU, the Black Studies courses. And then I always wanted to work with Black youth. That was something I was passionate about. I knew I wanted to become a teacher when I was 5 years old. I used to play school. And so I decided that I would want to make sure that I was in the schools and could have some impact. And so I always pursued that, and I also did that with my children. That's when the time when I met, you know, I met Sonia Sanchez and Haki and Nikki Giovanni. We had speakers like Malcolm X. We had speakers coming to the campus, and I just became involved in the music and the whole cultural arts movement, and that became a part of my life. That's when I first traveled to Africa. And, you know, insisted when my children came, they would know who they were. Because I grew up in a system where I was generally the only black person in my school. And I wanted to ensure that my children didn't feel that way. And I wanted to ensure that black youth, our black men and women felt empowered and had a strong sense of self and self-confidence. So that became my passion. I had even thought about starting my own school. I didn't do that, but I ended up going to work for the Malcolm King Harlem College Extension. I knew I wanted to work with black people. So when I had an opportunity to go to Mega Rivers College and to teach there, I was very excited because I was in an environment that had black faculty and black students, and was like heaven for me because I had not been exposed to that going to predominantly white institutions all of my life.
Right.
So I dedicated myself to doing that.
Back up a little bit, because you talked about the first place you taught. It was, you said Malcolm, and talk a little bit about
Malcolm
that institution.
Malcolm X Harlem King College. It was a college that was formed as an extension of Mount Marymount, and all of the faculty who taught there, Malcolm King Harlem College Extension. It was an extension of Marymount. And I ended up working there. I ended up developing a Right to Read program for adults there, but most of the faculty who were teaching there, they all volunteered.
Right.
Everyone volunteered because they were committed to working with black students. So that's the environment I was around. I surrounded myself with people who were dedicated to ensuring that our students had role models and had an education. And I wanted to carry on in that tradition and carry forth that tradition. So as an English major, I had an opportunity to form a literacy program, and that was the start of really my wanting to also work with adults, not only with young people.
So talk to us about you excited. Obviously, you have become identified with Medgar Evers College. So how did you, were you recruited? Did you apply? How did you land at Medgar Evers?
Well, Medgar Evers College was formed in 1970, and that was I was at New York University at that time. But we knew about Medgar Evers College because black faculty and students were anxious to go there. I had a professor, I don't know if you ever heard of Leslie Lacey, who wrote this book called Autobiography of a Proper Negro. And Leslie Lacey was teaching at Howard University. He used to come to New York University to teach a course on blacks and capitalism. And then he would go to Medgar Evers College to volunteer and teach a course at Medgar Evers College. Many of my classmates also left private colleges, or those who had gone to community colleges wanted to go to Medgar Evers College because that was a college that was formed out of the Central Brooklyn community, out of the black community. So after working in the Right to Read program, when that program was no longer funded, one of my colleagues said there are some openings at Medgar Evers College. And I said, I'm definitely interested. And I was offered a position teaching reading and writing or doing counseling. And I said, no, I want to stay on the academic side. And Medgar Evers College provided the seeds for me to really grow professionally and provided that kind of support. I learned so much. And you mentioned earlier about how you said I wasn't afraid to step out and raise my voice when I saw injustice at Medgar Evers College. And now I think of myself as a literary activist. But those seeds were formed by being at a college like Medgar Evers College, where I had an opportunity to have some impact on what happened. And there were faculty around me and who were modeling what it meant to be an activist and to educate and help students to be aware of their ability to have change in their lives and to call to action. So those seeds were formed at Medgar Evers College. That's when I realized if I wanted to stay in higher education, I had to get a doctorate. So I decided to pursue my degree. You know, Medgar Evers College has the highest number of black faculty, I think, in New York State, who have doctoral degrees. It was a wonderful place to be.
Talk to us about that campus community connection, because you said it came out of the struggle of the central, I think you said the Central Brooklyn community. Talk to us about that struggle. Who was involved in it? How did it happen? What kind of impact did it have? Because it seems that that is a very crucial part of the identity of Medgar Evers College.
Right. Well, the community leaders, elected officials, and some people from CUNY came together and demanded that a college in Central Brooklyn, a senior college, be formed in Central Brooklyn. Al Vann, Dr. Al Vann, was one of the people who was very much involved in the founding of Medgar Evers College. I think Job Mashariki was involved. Mm-hmm. There were a number of elected officials and community people and clergy who said we need a college. And so CUNY was forced to address that, and it became College Number 7. There were some conflicts over who would run the college. CUNY ended up selecting the person they wanted, but the community the elected officials and community leaders were very much involved in determining how the college would be structured and insisting that the college be a senior college in central Brooklyn. And they insisted that the college, they came up with the name Megger Evers College, but it embodied the principles that we have at a historically black colleges, so that it would be a college that was not only targeted towards academics, but one that was targeted toward educating the whole student. And so the student who went to Megger Evers College was required to get an education, it was viewed that their education would involve understanding themselves, the knowledge of culture, realizing that they could be change agents, having connections to the community, interacting with the community. The goal is, the mission of Megger Evers College is that we have a liberal arts college. We are educating students with a range of degrees in the liberal arts, but we are also educating them to give back, very much like was done in the tradition of historically black colleges, and to serve the community as well as the larger self. So we have, for example, centers. That's why we have centers at Megger Evers College. That's an extension of that.
Right. So, well, talk to us about these centers, because one of those centers is one that you had this amazing rise and development and become a very central part of what Megger Evers College has become. And a part of that is the Center for Black Literature. And so I'd like to have you talk to us about the center and how it came to be. And well, why it came to be is probably obvious, but nonetheless, you should talk to us about it anyway.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. The Center for Black Literature was really formed in response to having a way to institutionalize the National Black Writers Conference, and to have a place where writers could come together and we could have other kinds of programs for our youth, could have readings, we could publish a journal. The National Black Writers Conference was the vision of John Oliver Killens, who had held previous conferences before he came to Megger Evers College as a writer in residence in the 1980s. And he decided that he wanted to continue the tradition of hosting National Black Writers Conferences at Megger Evers College. So we held the first conference in 1986. As you know, it takes many resources to host the conference. The conference was subsequently held in 1988. John Oliver Killens transitioned in 1987. But we continued to host the conference. I was coordinating the conference. And in the year 2000, the person who was formerly the conference director, Dr. Elizabeth Nunez, stepped down, and I took over directing the conference. I also went on fellowship leave and wrote a proposal to found the Center for Black Literature. And one of the goals of the Center for Black Literature would be to carry forth that vision of John Oliver Killens and to have a conference every year. We've not been able to have a major conference every year. We do it every other year. We have the 16th National Black Writers Conference coming up. So what we decided to do is to have a one-day symposium focused on a writer or a conference or a theme in black literature in the odd years, and to have a major 3 or 4 day conference focused on the state of black literature for 3 or 4 days in the even years. And so 2000 March 30th to April 2nd will be the 16th National Black Writers Conference, and we've incorporated honoring writers and having roundtables and readings, workshops and discussions for 4 days. It's really a public gathering. And we also, at the Center for Black Literature, modeled it on, when I was on sabbatical and I had to come up with a way to write it, I looked at what Dr. Hakeem Mahabudi was doing at the Gwendolyn Brooks Center, for Black Literature and Creative Writing in Chicago and modeled some of our programming on the kind of programming they would do. So in addition to the conference, we have a major youth program called Re-envisioning Our Lives Through Literature. We go into the middle schools and high schools and work with teachers and teaching artists, and they have students read texts representing Black literature, and they also create their own texts, their short stories, poems, skits. They put on a performance at the end. They contribute to an anthology. We also, in the tradition of John Oliver Killens, we developed a journal called the Killens Review of Arts and Letters, a peer-reviewed journal where writers can submit essays, short stories, poetry. We have a reading series, the Killens Reading Series, in honor of Killens. Emerging and established writers meet, come together once a month, and we have readings and discussions with the writers. I host, you know, the radio program Writers on Writing. We also have a workshop we developed for seniors as a tribute. It was in honor of Dr. Edith Rock, who was a faculty member at Megan Rivers College. She came to me one day and said, you know, we have to make sure that our elders are having their stories told. And it's different than many projects which focus on elders. It's not an oral history project, but they are actually writing their stories. And we always make sure and have them present at our National Black Writers Conference. We also have a writers retreat. We do it in the summer. We do something upstate New York, the Wild Seeds Writers Retreat. We renamed it in honor of Octavia Butler, because sometimes we have the retreat at Megan Rivers College. This year we're having it this summer at SUNY New Paltz. And it's bringing writers together with workshop leaders to work on their writing in a secluded environment without many distractions and to get individualized attention as they work on their writing. So we have a variety of programs that support writers. We have at our conference people doing papers on scholarly, scholarly papers on the work of contemporary writers and on some of our honorees. And we're just continuing to expand and to ensure that our writers are supported, that we have a place where people can come together and talk about the issues facing Black writers, and we bring together students and the community. We call it a conference, as I said, but it's really a public gathering, right? Because we don't see ourselves as only speaking to academics. We're speaking to students and the youth and everyone. Everyone comes together. One of the things that Sister Sonia Sanchez used to say, that when you come to Megan Rivers College, you check your ego at the door, because the writers and the attendees are all together. Of course, we had to do something differently in this virtual environment, but when we're in person, it's really almost like a festival.
It certainly is. I can attest to that. It is amazing.
Yes.
It has such a great feeling to it. I mean, you just feel so wonderful being with people, and the sessions, there's a lot of energy that is a part of it. It is really, really, really amazing, and to hear you lay out so much and how the layers and how much has been added to it is really, 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 really phenomenal in and of itself. So obviously you are to be commended for this really, really amazing set of projects and programs that you put together, and the 16th coming up. I just want to go back quickly, though, to do a little bit on Oliver Killens. Would you just sort of just say who he was and what he contributed? Because sometimes we take that for granted. And since it's, you're inspired by that work and he was in residence there, could you just say a word about him?
Yeah. John Oliver Killens was a novelist, a literary activist, a screenwriter. He's probably one of his books. And then we heard The Thunder is a book he's known for. Mm. Young Blood is one of his novels. Mississippi, The Cotillion, He has a lot of satire in his novels. He most recently, one of his unpublished novels, what came out, The Minister Primarily, which is a satire on a government in Africa that finds out they have minerals, and then what happens as people try to from the West try to recoup it. It's very he's really an excellent writer. And he also always made sure that he supported rec writers through having, you know, he's had writers' workshops, and sometimes he would even come to his home. He was very close with Harry Belafonte and Maya Angelou, and you know, making sure that they were supporting black writers and the causes of black people in literature and music and art, and bringing them together. He was just committed to that, committed to ensuring that voices were heard. And one of the things he talked about was the role of the black writer. What is the social responsibility of the black writer? In fact, one of our panels is dedicated to the question he raised at the 1986 National Black Writers Conference. And the theme of that was the social responsibility of the black writer. And I think that really embodies who he was and why we have to continue to celebrate him and to make sure that it's he's in our curriculum. So one of the things we do is sometimes we've used excerpts from his books in our Re-envisioning our Lives Through Literature program. We want to make sure that the writers who are not part of the mainstream, who are not considered viably commercial and successful, we have to make sure that their voices are heard, because there are so many people writing. And if you look at the, you know, the New York Times review of books, or you look at the books that the publishers are pushing, they are pushing more black writers, but there are so many books that are available. There are so many people who are publishing. You know, I'd like to give a shout out to Troy Johnson, who's the founder of the largest online black book company, bookseller online, and it's a great resource for writers, the African American Literature Review, and he's going to be the bookseller for our upcoming conference. Right. He's done wonderful work with respect to supporting black writers and the resource. And we always make sure that for all of our conferences that we try to support black independent black bookstores or black booksellers. It's very important that we do that.
Right. Now, earlier you talked about the fact that you sort of studied some of the work of Hakeem Adabudi and how some of that had influenced what you were able to do and innovate it at Mega Evers. Would you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, Hakeem Adabudi, you know, he just celebrated his 80th birthday, and I was privileged and honored to be part of the program. But, you know, we initially met him by, you know, as a poet, Don L. Lee, and he thought about this fiery man, but he also... He's very committed to education. He's an institution builder. He's a poet. He's a supporter of black writers. He's the founder of the oldest independent black press in the country, Third World Press, Third World Foundation. And he is committed to making sure that we have black institutions. He and his wife Safisha have built a number of schools, started a number of schools, charter schools. I just really, really admire the work he's done, and he just continues to do the work. And I first met him in person when I had an opportunity to manage Inkiru Books, which was the oldest independent black bookseller in Brooklyn. My son Talib Kweli and Mos Def bought the books, and then they went on the road for their albums. And that's part of why I took a sabbatical. So I learned a lot about bookselling. and the publishing world, and one of the people who came to do the book signing was Dr. Hakeem Aboudi, and he had just written Tough Notes, a book that never stayed on the shelves of Incuro Books. And when he found out what we were trying to do at Incuro Books, he said, I'm donating books. He sent a carton of books from Third World Press and donated them to Incuro. That's who he was. He didn't think about the cost. He's just very, very given and making sure that he has done whatever he can to support Black institutions, to support book selling. His godmother was, he says, his non-biological godmother is the great Gwendolyn Brooks, the Pulitzer Prize poet, and the center that he founded is named after her, the Gwendolyn Brooks Right. Center for Black Literature and Creative Writing.
Great, wonderful. I just wanted to get that in, and you know, Hakeem Aboudi is also a great admirer of Dr. Brenda Greene, and we have a little surprise for you. Hakeem Aboudi, are you there?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
How you doing, dear?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and Dr. Aboudi is our opening featured speaker at the 16th National Black Writers Conference.
I'm honored to come back, but you're the woman of the hour and doing this very special month to honor our sisters. Dr. Brenda Greene is at the top of the list. Not only being a professor at Mega Eggers and executive director of the Center for Black Literature, for over 20-some-odd years, she has held together the National Black Writers Conference there at Mega Eggers. And we had the honor to, in 2008, to publish a book by Dr. Greene and Fred Buford, Meditations and Ascensions, Black Writers on Writing, which was a major piece of work to come out at Third World Press. But more than that, she's a sister. And this is the key point. She understands the absolute necessity of building for our community, not for self-aggrandizement, not for building her name, but how do we essentially move our community forward? Most certainly, how do we move these students forward, you see, at Meg Evers and across the nation? Because the National Black Writers Conference is a national event put on in Brooklyn. So it's been my, you know, my joy and pleasure to, and we brought it into the Hall of Fame was at Chicago State a few years ago. And she, you know, came there and just did an excellent job in terms of a keynote. So she's my sister, and there are very few women and even brothers, Ron, and you know this, that we can actually call brothers or sisters who will not fall down on the job, who continues to contribute. And she now is pretty much iconic in terms of being not only supported and praised for her work that she's done at Mega Evers, but her work that she does independently. And she's raised two marvelous sons. Boy, I tell you that now. But I just wanted to call in. When Ron told me he was honoring you, I said, well, let me say a few words about this sister, because she is so special, so special.
Right. Well, this is very special and a surprise. And as I said, I really admire you. You know, if I ever get tired, I said, well, what will Hakeem Aboudi say? Just keep doing the work, because you are truly committed, you know, and you have been so supportive of me and my work and my sons, you know, and my family. And I just really, really love it and appreciate and value you for what you've done.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Sister Brenda. And Ron Daniels is in the same league in terms of developing the Institute for the Black World 21st Century. And we all know, the three of us know, that this is no small task. And the one thing that we all of us want, and I'm here to say this first class to you, we just want people to say thank you. Thank you for being there, and thank you for honoring us. And because as you honor us, you honor yourself. And we need you so badly. And yes, I'm 80, knocking the hell out of 81 now. But we're going to be here. Right. Ron, I want to thank you for allowing me to come in and say these few words about this beautiful sister.
Well, it's my courage, and when I was thinking about it, and I said, aha, that'll be a great surprise for her. I didn't tell her about it because I wanted her to be surprised by it, but I know the relationship. I've seen you at the conferences and know the incredible work that the two of you have done together, so I thought it was very fitting when we were talking about Dr. Brenda Green as a phenomenal Black woman to have you come on. So, Hakeem, we appreciate it so much.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Thank you. I appreciate it,
Dr. Green, we love you, baby. Take care now.
Hey, love you, too. Love you, too. And I have to give my praises to Dr. Ron Daniels, who has, energy. He is relentless in pursuing the work for the Institute of the Black World. You know, I have not been able to participate as much as I did previously, but I do try to support it, you know, and when I can. And I just commend you for continuing to do that work and to push forward and to make sure that we are aware of national and international issues facing us as Black people throughout the African diaspora. So I commend you and thank you for the work that you continue to do.
Yeah,
you
know, we appreciate
you may have retired from York, but I don't see you ever retiring.
Well, I had to say that myself the other day. I said, if this is retirement, I don't know what retirement is, because I'm working harder now. But it's good. I'm not complaining. But it is relentless, and it's the work that we have to do. And I'm always aware of your spirit, and I'm always aware that you're there, and that really your physical presence is not as important. You know, we know what you are doing, and we connect in whatever way we can. And so I really want to close out on a couple of notes. I wish you would say something about your family. I know about Talib to some degree, but I hear about another son, and you have other children, and I really have not known much. You're not someone who sort of walks around and boasts about I'm the mother of and this kind of thing. And so it took a while before I even said, oh wow, that's I didn't even know, because I know, and some people. Well, I guess it's okay, but some people almost take advantage of the success of their children in a way that is, you know, maybe not the best and whatnot, but you're very modest, and you would never know it unless you sort of say it. So two things. One, say a bit about your family, and then finally, we want to know what's next. I don't know what you could possibly do next, but we would want to conclude with what's next for the phenomenal Black woman, Dr. Brenda Green.
Well, thank you for that. I have two wonderful sons, and I always have to give thanks to their father. Their father and I raised it. We made a decision that we would always put our children first, and I think about what Haki says about surrounding your children with books and positive images and a strong sense of self, and we did that, and we said you pursue your passion. So Talib Kweli, which means student or seeker of truth and knowledge, is an internationally known hip-hop artist, and he's a wonderful writer also in terms of lyrics, and he now has a podcast. He has his own record label. He's been doing this since, well, now I should say, like I would say 25, 26 years.
Yes, right.
So I just actually had an opportunity to go see him at the Blue Note last weekend. He was the artist in residence for 4 days.
Wow.
And my son, Jamal Green, who is 2 years younger than him, is professor of constitutional law at Columbia University. He took a different route but pursued his passion, graduated from Harvard, and then went to Yale Law School, did some work for Sports Illustrated. But he is pursuing his passion of studying constitutional law. He is called upon by many experts around law. Both of them, interestingly enough, had books published last year within a month of each other. Jamal published How Rights Went Wrong, Why Our Obsession with Rights is Tearing America Apart. And it looks at what has happened in the name of rights, and does a really interesting analysis of the Constitution. And then Talib came out with his memoir, Vibrate Higher, a memoir on rap, and it's his personal story, but it's also an analysis of social and political events that were going on. So they both are writers, and you know, they both, as I said, they both are pursuing their passion. Jamal has three wonderful children, and Tlaib has three wonderful children. They each have three, so I'm blessed to have six grandchildren. So I just understand the importance of the adage that your children come through you, but you have to be there and support them so that they can pursue what they want. And I always say to everyone, never give up on your children. Tlaib did not finish college, but he went on to do what he wanted to do.
Right.
And I had to understand that, because that's what we taught him. And he appreciates that.
Right.
And both of them appreciate that.
And so what's
Jamal,
next?
Next for me, I want to ensure that the legacy of the Center for Black Literature continues. So I'm always looking at ways to expand that. I am looking at how we can have some satellite centers around the country, and looking to develop a plan for making sure that no matter who is in charge, the mission of the center stays. I'm blessed to be in an academic institution, so I don't have to rush off, but I'm cultivating and mentoring people around me who can carry forth the legacy of the Center for Black Literature. And then I also want to go back to my own writing. I haven't done the writing that I wanted to do. You know, when you are running organizations, sometimes it's hard to
tell me about it.
Your own writing. So I have some books. I have several books that I want to be able to finish. So that's next for me.
Well, Dr. Brenda Green, we thank you so much for being the phenomenal Black woman that you are. Tell us again about the Writers Conference coming up. And finally,
yes,
how
I
do people just...
people to go to the Center for Black Literature, www.centerforblackliterature.org. Our conference is called, the theme, The Beautiful Struggle, Black Writers Lighting the Way. And we have over 60 writers and scholars and poets coming up. And we also have a pre-conference program this Wednesday, the African Diasporic Conversations and Readings, with four writers, who are from Africa, and then Kia Thorfron, Lewis Edwards, Nana and Kewi, and Lewis Edwards. Oh, actually, three writers. I said four, three writers. But you know, one of the things that's exciting, I took the titles of this conference from the themes of some books. So we have Between the World and Me is one panel, The Social Responsibility of the Black Writer, The Souls of Black Folk, Telling Our Stories. Octavia tried to tell us, you know, the warning she gave. Nobody Knows My Name, Race Relations in Black Literature, Making a Way Out of No Way, Healing the Community. And we have writers and scholars who are going to all speak to those themes. So it'll be an interesting conversation. We want it to be interactive, and you also have an opportunity to study the craft of writing by looking at doing workshops in fiction, poetry, memoir, young adult literature, and publishing.
Right.
I encourage people to come out and to visit our website. You can register now. Register now for the 16th National Black Writers Conference.
All right. Well, Dr. Brenda Green, thank you so much for taking time out of your very, very, very busy schedule to spend time with us on WBAI 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Dial in collaboration with my old school, York College Radio. This afternoon, we really, really, really appreciate it. And we look forward to the 16th Black Writers Conference. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And stay tuned also for the 20th anniversary Jubilee celebration of our center. Thank you for the work that you do.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Dr. Brenda Greene, what a phenomenal black woman, and what a wonderful interview. We went over a little bit. I said, I let it flow. You know what I mean? I let it flow. I can't cut it off. You know, we have it timed out, but we cut it off. We can't cut it off when it's flowing so beautifully. We thank Hakeem Adabudi for calling in to give his tribute. We're going to invite you, once we open the phone, some of you know Dr. Brenda Greene, and you'll want to call in and give your testimonies. We're welcoming you to do that as we celebrate phenomenal black women. We're going to, in a few minutes, we're going to replay Betty Dobson's phenomenal narration of Fannie Lou Hamer's testimony at the 1964 Democratic National Convention. And we're going to be getting people signed up to be WBAI buddies. Y'all with me out there? You got to be with me out there, because we need to continue to build and sustain WBAI. So I'm going to just talk to you a minute about that and hope that you'll go to the phones and start, have those phones ringing, because the basic methodology, the basic idea here is, the more BAI buddies we have, and our program director is so thankful that our audience is growing. The audience at WBAI is growing. That's a good thing, which means that you're respecting and loving the rich variety of programming that's taking place. You can get so much. You can be fed so much in so many ways in this university on the airway, or what, again, Dr. James Smalls calls the citadel of resistance and transformation. Everybody has their own take on what it is. But it's all good, because it's talking about how we create a better self, a better family, a better neighborhood, a better nation, and a better world. And that's really what WBAI is about. And there are like thousands of listeners out there. And we really should not be struggling at all, because there are thousands upon thousands who cannot afford to give anything. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of others who can afford to give something at some level to help build and strengthen this edifice so that it survives. And you hear the kind of programming that we just did, and there are many other kinds of programs that you get that you are not going to get in commercial media. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get it. Now, there's debates and there's controversy and there's discussion, and that's all good. And it's not perfect. And that's the nature of the world. But we are here to shape it and to develop it. And that's what can be done if we get WBAI buddies. And I'm a WBAI buddy. WBAI buddy is someone who gives a minimum of $10 a year, $110 per month, $120 per year, in order to be a sustaining contributor. And the way it's done is so beautiful, because it's painless. You don't have to think, oh my God, oh, I forgot to pay. No, you don't have to do that. If you go to give to WBAI.org, give to, and that's the numeral to WBAI.org, they will tell you how it works. And how it works is, you can put it on your credit card, your debit card, connected to your savings account. I think those are the three most popular ways. And today they got these other apps and these different things out there too, because you know I ain't caught up with all of that stuff. But there's some other ways you can do it as well. They will help you do that to become a sustaining contributor. And I'm one. You know, I read my statement, it's there, and I don't have to worry about it, because I've made my commitment to do it. So again, I don't go and ask you to go where I'm not prepared to go. So you can go to give2wbai.org. Or you can call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Now, here's what's so amazing. Because you know how I say, maybe I'm different and maybe not, but I don't do this because I want anything in return. WBAI is my gift. It is what nourishes me. It inspires me. It encourages me. And it gives me an opportunity to project the work of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and the National African American Reparations Commission. That's a gift. And there are different ways that we interact. We synergize. There's some things coming up that we hope will be broadcast live on WBAI. I bring programming. I bring action-oriented, solution-oriented work and solutions to WBAI. And I'm able to talk about it. That's a gift to me. I can't do that anywhere else. I can't. It's just not. It doesn't exist. And that's the kind of radio activism that I'm very, very much committed to. So I don't, and I'm not, you know, the premiums are fine, but I would do this if there were no premiums. But guess what? During Women's History Month, those persons who are willing to do $15 a month or more, just $15 or more a month, if you can afford it, to become a WBAI buddy, you get a 1 GB, or I think that means gigabyte, Women's History Collection, and a WBAI tote bag that you can proudly carry around with a WBAI with this sustaining membership. Now, what's amazing is when I look down, as I said before, this list, and it would take me 10 minutes to go through all this. I mean, there are so many wonderful, on the flash drive, there's so many wonderful renditions about women that you can find. I'm going to repeat some of them. Molly Ivins is on here. Dolores, the wonderful Dolores Huerta, whom I had an opportunity to work with when I was with Jackson Campaign and the Rainbow Coalition, the United Farm Workers, one of the co-founders with Cesar Chavez. Amy Goodman, everybody knows Amy Goodman. Tracing the origins of the Pacifica flagship news magazine, Democracy Now, by way of Amy Goodman. Remembering Coretta Scott King and Langston Hughes. The power of African American women is also a part. And then there is one, Miriam McKeever, and Odetta. I could tell my Odetta story. I when I first met Odetta or heard of her, I had the privilege of being at the 1963 March on Washington. And I will never forget the voices. There were three groups that I remember. Peter, Paul, and Mary were singing. And I lied because I forgot the other singer. It'll come to me because she is still around, as are some of the members of Peter, Paul, and Mary. But the other voice was Odetta. I will never forget that strong voice. She was singing, "Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom." And before I be a slave, and I often quote that in some of my speeches, that was Odetta. And we came to know each other later and to actually talk. But that's how far I go back with Odetta. And what a powerful person. And she was, identified with WBAI, all up in it and identified with WBAI. And then we have Blues and the Legacy of Black Feminism is a part of the package. And there are many, 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 many from all races, creeds, background. I just did some of the black stuff and some of the Latino stuff, but there's a ton of stuff in there. And that's all if you just do $15 per month if you can afford it. Now, I'm getting ready to, we're going to play Betty Dobson's piece in just a moment, but I want you to go right now to the phone or to give to WBAI.org and sign up. I'm just talking about 20, just 20, but there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people who could afford to do this. For those who can't, we thank you. We appreciate your listenership and your support. Some people volunteer, people contribute in other ways. But we should blow up the phones right now at 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. In honor of Betty Dobson, in honor of Dr. Brenda Green, and all of these phenomenal black women that are in this package, in this premium, call right now and say, I want to be a WBAI buddy. I am committed to being a WBAI buddy. Yeah, Peter Yarrow is still and is around and doing great work as well. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Call right now. I'm just trying to get 20 WBAI buddies. I'm just trying to do my job. I'm just trying to be supportive. I'm already a WBAI buddy. But look at all that you get. All that you get with just $15. You get that this Women's History Collection and a WBAI tote bag. But more than anything else, you get to be a sustaining contributor. And you should be proud to announce yourself to be so. And by the way, if you want your name, you know, shouted out over the airwaves, you can say that, and we'll say. And sometimes that helps, and people know that you're willing to say on air, "Yeah, I'm in. I've done it. So yeah, I've heard the professor. I've heard the program. I'm all in." Let us know, and we'll give you a shout out on the airwaves as well. So there are two ways: give to WBAI.org. You can go online. Give to, that's the numeral, WBAI.org, and sign up to become a WBAI buddy, or call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Call right now. Thank you. Call right now. Call. We want the phones flooded. 20 is too few. I just aimed at 20, but we should get tons of them today. Tons of them today. And we really hope that you appreciate the program that we had last week with Betty Dobson. We hope you appreciate it here, Dr. Brenda Green. Next week, it's going to be someone that maybe you don't know, but we know in the Pan-African Unity Dialogue, Dr. Zinzile Dillon. Dr. Zinzile Dillon, a sister born in Zimbabwe, now is like she's bicontinental now in South Africa and here in the USA. She is a phenomenal woman because of her faith, but also because of applying her faith in terms of economic development. She has created her own economic development firm, and she'll talk about that. But she also was a vice president for Barclays Bank in South Africa. Dr. Zinzile Dillon is the wife and partner also of Reverend Dennis Dillon. And we all know what a phenomenal prophet of black economic development he is. So she's going to be next week. And finally, on the 28th, it's going to be none other than Estella Vasquez. If you don't know Estella Vasquez, you will. She is a now retired executive vice president, executive vice president for 1199 SEIU. And what a remarkable organization that is. And she is a proud Afro descendant. We're going to honor her for the last show, the phenomenal black women, Estella Vasquez. So we have two more great phenomenal black women coming up. But in honor of Women's History Month, go to the phones right now. Right now, WBAI is honoring women all month and doing it in an incredible way and pushing out the idea of WBAI buddies. And you will get a incredible flash drive. I mean, it is so much information on here. I said, what is going on with Berthold and Linda? They're giving all this up. This is worth hundreds of dollars. And they're giving it away. If you just will agree to be a WBAI buddy at the level of $15 a month. Now, if you can't afford it, if you got 10, it's fine. The minimum is 10. But if you can give more, 25, 50, 60, 100. I mean, give what you can. Because it will mean that they're able to manage by knowing exactly how much revenue is coming in. There's still debt to be retired. Progress is being made, but there's still a mountain to be climbed and we will overcome in terms of moving WBAI forward. 212-209-2950. Ring those phones. 212-209-2950. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to replay something that we heard last week. And that was Betty Dobson with this awesome narration of Fannie Lou Hamer at the 1964 Democratic National Convention. She did a wonderful job. And when we come back, we're going to open up the phones. We're going to open up the phones. I'm going to give you the number now, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. And we're going to invite you to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. Call and become a WBA buddy, then switch up and give us a call and talk about these phenomenal black women that you've heard from. And even if, give a shout out to Betty, give a shout out to Dr. Green, and then say, oh, and here is my phenomenal black woman as well. So that's what we're going to do now. So let's listen to Betty Dobson in her amazing presentation of Fannie Lou Hamer.
Hamer, one of my favorite ancestors, as you said, wasn't educated, unlettered, powerful, had gone through a life that was, I can only describe as tragic. She was given a hysterectomy without her permission. She was the 20th child of a family of 20. She was the youngest. And she was also a polio victim. None of this stopped her. None of this. And so I try my best to represent her through a speech that she made at the 1964 Democratic Convention in Atlantic City. And, of course, I try to channel her. I add a few words to her message at that particular event. I hope that those that know and love Fannie Lou will allow me and give me permission to do that. My name, Mrs. Chairman, and the Credential Committee, my name is Fannie Lou Hamer. I live at 626 East Lafayette Street in Ruleville, Mississippi. Mississippi is the home of Senators Joe Eastland and Senator Stennis. It was on the 31st of August in 1962 that a bunch of us boarded a bus and traveled 26 miles to Sunflower County to try to register to vote to become first-class citizens. We was met in Indianola by policemen and a highway patrolman, and they only allowed us to go in and take a test to try to become voters. We only could go in at two at a time. And after we taking this test, we heard back to Ruleville. Well, we were stopped by the police and the state highway patrolman, told us to turn around and go back to Indianola. Went back there, and the bus driver was charged with driving a bus that was the wrong color, too yellow. Would you believe it? And we had to pay a fine for coming into Sunflower County in a bus that was the wrong color. After we paid our fine, we sent it on back to Ruleville. And I was carried back to my plantation in Ruleville, and I was a bookkeeper there and a sharecropper there for 18 long years. I was met by my children, who told me that the plantation owner was angry because I had gone down and tried to register. And after they told me, my husband, Pat, he came along and he told me the same thing. He said the plantation owner was raising cane because I had tried to register. Before he quit talking, the plantation owner came up to me and said, "Fannie Lou, did Pat tell you what I said?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, I mean, if you don't go down and withdraw your registration, you will have to leave. And even if you do go down and withdraw your registration, you still might have to leave because we are not ready for that in Mississippi." I told him, "I did not try to register for you, Mr. Marlowe. I tried to register for myself. I had to leave that same night, September 10th, 1962. And on that same night, 15 bullets was fired into the home Mr. and Mrs. Turner, who had let me stay there overnight because I had no place to stay. That same night, two young girls from Ruleville were shot. Later on, I attended another registration workshop. And so, returning from this workshop on the Trail Raid bus, the bus driver, he kept making calls back and forth, Well, when we were returning back to Ruleville, four of us got off the bus. Four went to the washroom, and four went to into a restaurant, but they didn't get nothing because they was ordered out of that restaurant by a highway patrolman and a chief of police. I saw them put five of our group, putting them on a police car. I stepped off that bus to see what was going on. Someone saw me stepping off the bus and they screamed. And the five looked at me and said, "Get that one there." When I stopped off the bus, I was told I was under arrest. Hadn't done nothing, but I was under arrest. And when I was trying to be put in that police car, the policeman kicked me. I was carried to a county jail and put in a booking room. Soon, I was placed in a cell with a young woman named Isla Simpson. Well, later on, they began to put us in different cells. And I began to hear sounds of licks and horrible screams. And I began to hear a voice saying, "Can you say yes, sir, nigga?" And then they would say other horrible things to her. And she said, "Yes, I can say yes, sir." He said, "Well, daddy, say it." And she said, "I don't know you well enough." Well, they beat that woman until she just didn't know what to do, so she started to pray and ask God for mercy. Not for herself, but for them wicked white folks that made them black men do things to us. It wasn't too long before three white men came to my cell and asked me where I was from. And I said, "I'm from Ruleville." Well, one said, "I'm going to check this out." Pretty soon, one of them came back to me and said, "Yeah, you from Ruleville, all right, and we're going to make you wish that you was dead." I was carried out of that cell to where they put me in with two Negro prisoners. The state highway patrolman ordered the first Negro to take a blackjack and beat me with it. I was ordered to lay on a bunk bed on my face. I lay on my face as that first Negro beat me. I was holding my hands behind me because, as I told you, I was a polio victim. The next Negro took his blackjack. And before he did, that first one beat me until he was totally exhausted. And the second Negro was ordered to beat me with his blackjack. I began working my feet because it was so painful. So the state highway patrolman ordered that first Negro to sit on my feet. I couldn't take it no more, and I started to scream. And one of the officers began to beat me in my head. My dress got worked up over my behind. And I reached down to pull it down. And that fire officer came over and pulled it back up again. I was in jail when Medgar Evers was murdered. All this on account of we wanted to vote and become first-class citizens. I said to you, Mr. Chairman, if the Mississippi Freedom Party is not seated now, I question America. I question America where we have to sleep with our phones off the hook because our lives are threatened daily because we want to live as decent human beings. Is this America? Is this America, I ask you? Is this the land of the free and the home of the brave? Is this America? Fannie Lou Hamer's health was seriously compromised by the total and brutal beating that she endured. She lost vision in one eye. She suffered with kidney problems for the rest of her life. She suffered with painful leg pain until the end of her life on March 14, 1977. She died after all of her sacrifices being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I believe that the black who later ran for office in the Democratic Party and won should have Sandra Hamer's picture in their office in Congress or wherever they are. I believe that they should celebrate her life every day of their life because she certainly sacrificed her life for them.
Wow. Again, brothers and sisters, I want to replay that because what a powerful, powerful, riveting presentation by our first phenomenal black woman. That was Betty Dobson last week. And we didn't get a chance because I let it, you know, develop and play out. And we really didn't get a chance for people to call in and give their salutes and tributes to Betty Dobson. And we're certainly going to give people that opportunity now, if you so choose, and we hope you will, as well as people who know Dr. Brenda Greene. You may know both. Just give them a shout out. Let's put it in the airway. These phenomenal black women that we are saluting here on WBAI by way of Vantage Point. This is Vantage Point, and we're delighted to be able to salute them. And we're talking about doing two things, WBAI buddies, and I hope people have been calling 212-209-2950. And by the way, if you called in, you can call in and say, I called in. And or if you're already a WBAI buddy, call in as well and say, you know, do your tributes and then say, and just tell people why they should sign up. Help me out. Help me solicit and bring on board more WBAI buddies. Phones are wide open at 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Our phones are wide open for you to call with your tribute, salute, or comment about Betty Dobson, our first phenomenal black woman, and of course today, Dr. Brenda Greene. And of course, you can salute both of them and say, but I also want to say this person could be your mother, your aunt, your, I mean, whomever, that you would like to also salute as a phenomenal black woman as a part of our Women's History Month commemoration here, with Vantage Point. We're doing four phenomenal black women. We've done two. We have two more to come. And we wanted to, a part of it will be to open up the phones like we are doing now, because there are people out there who know Betty Dobson who can call in and attest to the fact that she's a phenomenal black woman and what she has done. And the same thing with Dr. Brenda Greene. Phones are open right now, 212-209-2877. Ryan, we get in immediately at 212-209-2877. And of course, we're also encouraging people to sign up for WBAI buddies. Don't get quiet out there on me. Don't go to sleep on me. You cannot possibly have slept through such a powerful, powerful, riveting interview with Dr. Brenda Greene. And of course, hearing Betty Dobson again, that warrants you calling and giving a shout out at 212-209-2877. Wake up out there, WBAI audience, listeners of Vantage Point, here on 99.5 FM. You can get in immediately if you call in now. And of course, we're looking at this incredible package, the premiums, as we're pushing to get people to sign up to be WBAI buddies. And for $15, that's the minimum in order to get this phenomenal, amazing package, which will include a WBAI tote bag. But what's really amazing as well is this phenomenal collection on a flash drive, thumb drive, whatever those drives are called. I may not be calling it right, but it has one gigabyte of memory, and it's got tons of stuff. I don't know how many different offerings there are. As 50, there's a whole bunch of them. There's tons of them on it, and I cited some of them that are going to be made available to you. So I hope that you are going to your phone. It's 81 altogether. I think I'm seeing up to 81 that I'm seeing. It is a ton of information that's being included as we promote WBAI, but it's signing up to become sustaining members of WBAI. So we want to move right ahead. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Don't be shy. And I have a caller ready to kick it off, and I appreciate that because I don't want to have to talk all day, and y'all don't want to make me beg too hard. So, caller, good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point, and thank you so much for starting us off this afternoon.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I think Sister Dobson, I was a member of CEMOTAP for a long time, and I went on a couple of demonstrations with her when she was trying to keep Gil Noble on the air.
I remember that.
Thank her for all of her hard work. You know, she's a good person. We need that. Tons of more. And I'm a member. I've been a member of BAI for the last year or more. You know,
great.
So everybody should try and contribute. And
right.
Also with Fannie Lou Hamer, I think she died of a brain hemorrhage, a brain aneurysm. It was probably from the beating that she received on that tour.
Right, right.
We should never, never forget that.
Right, that's why that was so powerful what Betty Dobson did. And she's such a talented person, Betty Dobson, and again, a phenomenal black woman. CEMOTAP founded along with Dr. Mack. And doing incredible work. I thank you so much for starting us off. Maybe you'll get everybody else calling in. And I hope you enjoyed hearing for Dr. Brenda Green today, too, and Hakeem Adebooty calling in with that tribute as well. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Others can call us at 212. Thanks for getting that started. Others, just line up at 212-209-2877. I just opened it up. I just said, well, I think people would be wanting to call in and interact and give their shout outs. Maybe I was wrong, but don't make me wrong. Make me right. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Betty Dobson has many, many, many friends and supporters out there. And Dr. Brenda Green. What an incredible interview talking about her life, her evolution, her commitment to education, to writing, to literature, to culture, and to Medgar Evers coming out of Central Brooklyn, being built with the support of black politicians and political and faith leaders, some of whom are still around today. It's that legacy that we want to continue to build and to hear her tell her story. And, you know, I always ask people because they always want to launch right in on the no. We want to know who you are, to hear her, the contributions of her mother and what her mother taught her and her father. She called the armchair intellectual who is instilling things into her. I mean, those are just wonderful things that we learn about people that we see and we kind of know about. But we really want to know what is it that made them and helped them to become the leaders that they are. So that you will be able to pass that on, and maybe you will become inspired likewise. 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. We have a good amount of time today, folks, for y'all to get in and to make your tributes and your comments, if you will. But also, let me just say that our major mission is also WBAI Buddies, and profoundly thankful that our first caller indicated that he is, has been a WBAI buddy for a year and is proud to do so. We're encouraging others to do likewise today. That is our major mission as a part of our ability to do two things, tributes to our phenomenal black women, but also to call in and to sign up to be WBAI buddies. And I do hope I'm not disappointed, because I know there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people out there who can't afford to pay a minimum of $10 a month, $120 a year on your credit card, on your debit card, attached to your savings account, or new digital apps that will also provide that sustaining support to WBAI. And you can do that by going to give to WBAI.org, give to WBAI.org, or you can call. There are people waiting for you right now, and I don't want them to be sitting on their hands. I want you to be calling them. Now, I'm a little disappointed you're not calling rapidly enough. I mean, what's up? Wake up out there. I have a friend in Detroit, Joanne Watson. She has a program called Wake Up Detroit. Well, wake up, WBAI audience, and call 212-209-2950. That is in order to sign up to become a WBAI buddy. Sign up to become a WBAI buddy today. And if you do $15 or more, then there's this wonderful, wonderful premium that you get, the tote bag and the 1.1 gigabyte Women's History Collection, which is really, really, really incredible in terms of all of the women who are included in it, including Molly Ivins, Dolores Huerta, remembering Coretta Scott King and Langston Hughes, The Power of African American Women, Miriam Makeba, Odetta, and it was Joan Baez that I couldn't remember. I had a senior moment. It was those three that I saw at the March on Washington. I will never forget Peter, Paul, and Mary, Joan Baez, and of course Odetta, who became very much involved with WBAI as well. Blues and Legacies of Black Feminism. All of these, and then, like I said, there's something like 80-something different possibilities there, 80-something that are there. And you can get it just for $15 a month, or you can give much more if you can afford to do so. All right, let's get these calls going here. You got plenty of time to call in, and we have another caller. Thank you. You're trickling today when I thought you would be like flooding. Maybe you're doing the flooding one of the lines or the other, but let's go to our listening audience. Thank you very much. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon, Brother Ron. This is John from Plainfield, New Jersey. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you're one of our great supporters here at WBAI.
Yes. And I was on them the march in 63 down in D.C., and it's a shame. It seems like the more things change, the more they remain the same. It looks like we need to be challenging the same paradigms that were then now. But also, I served on the local station board with Sister Betty. She's a wonderful person, and it was good to hear her channel Fannie Lou Hamer and her dynamic, you know, speech at the Democratic Convention. And I was actually down in Atlantic City.
Oh, wow.
So I appreciate you, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to Sister Betty and to all the good work that you're doing.
All right. We appreciate it so much. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you calling. Others can call at 212-209-2877. Of course, our phenomenal black woman for today was Dr. Brenda Greene. Dr. Brenda Greene, who, again, the Black Writers Conference is coming up. She talked about it. It's really an amazing event. I'm sure she has friends and allies and folks that she's worked with. Call in and give her a shout. Haki Madhubuti, of course, virtually called in all the way from Chicago to give his tribute and talk about what a phenomenal black woman she is. She's been inducted into the Black Writers Hall of Fame. So call us. Give us a shout out to Dr. Brenda Greene. And line up, folks, line up. Wake up, WBAI audience, and let's get it rolling. We have another caller calling in. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon, Dr. Daniels. My name is Dennis Boatwright.
Yes, sir. My brother.
Yes, and first of all, you know, before I make the comment in regards to Fannie Lou Hamer, I would just like to commend you for your decades, five or more decades of service to our people. And you, as well as Dr. Ron Walters, are my favorite African Center Pan-African political scientists. So I just want to say that. But also,
well, thank you so much.
Oh, yes. We're missing Dr. Ron Walters today.
Oh, yes, we definitely are.
Well, what I wanted to say, in my opinion, I believe that the movement today has become too intellectualized. What I say that means What I mean by that is that we're missing the people on the ground like Fannie Lou Hamer, the people like Malcolm X, the people like Marcus Garvey, and what I have seen. And this is no knock to people who have degrees. I see that people give more credence and more credibility to people with doctor's degrees or master's degrees than everyday people like Fannie Lou Hamer who are out here doing the work, but perhaps who may not be, you know, writing books or presenting dissertations or monographs at conference. But there's a lot of people out here that are not getting the credit and are very valuable to the movement, but they are not being recognized because they are not a part of an institution or they're not a part of some type of suffix on their name. If, right. I say this to say this. John Henry Clark was Dr. Clark before he even had a high school diploma. And since George Floyd passed away in 2020, when he got killed, me and my wife and kids, as independent people who love our people, we traveled over 120,000 miles. I've met Professor James Small, Professor Leonard Jeffries, Tony Browder in person recently from my travels. And what I'm finding out is that we're missing the Fannie Lou Hamers.
Right.
Particularly,
well, they're out there. And we definitely need to tap them and get them engaged and get them involved. No question. I think you make a valid point. And in terms of the degrees, Dr. Brenda Green, who was our phenomenal black woman for today, pointed out that her father was her inspiration. He was an armchair intellectual, she said, but he was self-taught. He taught himself. He didn't have a degree. He taught himself. And many of our parents and forebears were not college educated. They didn't have degrees. However, they pushed. They saw a value of it, and they certainly wanted to make education a premium. But we should not either give people automatic credit or automatically dismiss people because they have a degree or don't have a degree. In fact, I was at a meeting yesterday in New Orleans, and someone rose up at the end of the program and said, let's be clear that everybody here in this room is an expert in one way or another. Everybody has something to contribute. So whether you have a degree or a degree or no degree, everybody is valuable. So I think that's the point that you're making, and I certainly agree with you. And we just have to keep finding and honoring those out there and who have the wisdom and the value to contribute to our struggle. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it. All right, others can call at 212-209-2877. Again, our phenomenal black women, the first 2 weeks, Dr. Brenda Green called today. We got some friends from Dr. Brenda Green. Call up in here. Dr. Brenda Green, phenomenal work coming out of Central Brooklyn, Medgar Evers College, chair of the English department and founder and director of the Black Literature Program, the Center for Black Literature, and also as the container for the Black Writers Conference. And she talked about that. If you heard what Dr. Brenda Green talked about, she said that they intentionally have a program for seniors, for elders, and they don't have to be degreed folk at all. They're taking it out to the community and finding and discovering the genius and brilliance of black folks. And she said it's not just oral histories. They actually, you know, produce and write, and they help them. So that is something to be commended in the same spirit of our brother who just called. 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. We have a good ways to go here, so you can call and get in right now. If you call 212-209-2877, we're also... Oh, I'm worried because y'all are a little slow on me today. Y'all don't disappoint me today now. Come on with these WBI. But I only asked for 20. But goodness gracious, the slowness of these calls have me panicking here because I thought we did have a pretty nice little program today, right? I mean, Dr. Brenda Green, no less, and Hakeem Adabudi calling in, and then Betty Dobson like closing the show with Fannie Lou Hamer. I think that's pretty powerful stuff. And so, you know, call and comment, you know, let us know what's going on in terms of, I guess, you know, the tributes to these phenomenal black women, but also the WBAI buddies, which are really, really a major mission for us today, a major, 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 major mission for us today. $15 is the minimum to get this premium, which is a 1 gigabyte women's history collection. I've traced some of it. I mean, it has incredible. It is worth hundreds of dollars. This is worth hundreds of dollars. A treasure trove. And you also get a WBAI tote bag that you can proudly walk around with saying, I am a WBAI buddy. And what that means is, if hundreds of people sign up as WBAI buddies, it reduces the necessity for pledge drives, which have been done differently now anyway. I think it's a much better way that it's being done. Audience is growing, and we just want to continue to build out the infrastructure and grow and develop. And the program is rich and deep, but we want to be able to sustain it and develop it. So go to give2wbai.org. I don't want to be disappointed at the end and say, well, Ron, we only had two people. Oh, we appreciate it if it's two, by the way. Let me not diminish that. If it's two, we appreciate it. But we ought to be able to get more than that. We ought to be able to get more than that. I'm hoping that we'll be able to get the report that we had at least 20. At least 20. I started with 10. I said, oh, no, we got to get at least 20 people in an hour and a half of programming. 212-209-2950 is where you call in order to call in right now. There are people out there, you heard the program, you hear the programming on WBAI. It is rich, it is strong, it's varied, it's inspirational, it's healing, it's caring, it's controversial, it's provocative, it's all of those things. It's a potpourri of possibilities. And there are people out there who can afford it. There are those who can't, and we know that. But there are many, 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 many people. I tell the story, my first early work in civil rights movement was at an NAACP meeting in Youngstown, Ohio. I will never, ever forget the speaker getting up and saying, freedom ain't free. Freedom ain't free. And we are the ones, we are the funders we've been looking for when it comes down to WBAI. It ain't coming from corporate America. Is not coming from other traditional sources. We are the source. And one of the best ways in order to sustain and build and strengthen WBAI is by becoming a WBAI buddy. So again, I'm encouraging you to go to your phones, go to the phones, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and sign up right now. And then we await other callers because y'all are working me too hard today. You know, I mean, I'm having to talk too much. You know, y'all working me too hard. Call up, and give your tribute to a phenomenal black woman. And by the way, if you didn't hear the interview with Betty Dobson, if somehow you missed the interview with Dr. Brenda Green and you're just tuning in, if you heard that phenomenal rendition, narration, Betty Dobson of Fannie Lou Hamer at the Democratic National Convention. If you missed all that, fine. Call in and say, Dr. D, Professor Daniels, this is my phenomenal black woman. Call in and make your contribution, your tribute. We have two other persons coming up. Dr. Zinzili Dillon will be next week, and that will be followed by none other than Estella Vasquez. So we are saluting phenomenal black women for two more weeks. But I wanted to open up the phones to allow you the opportunity to call in and make your tributes to the persons that we have interviewed. And we interviewed Betty Dobson, and we interviewed Dr. Brenda Green. And so I was fallacious in my thoughts that out there are people who know them and who would call in and give a shout out publicly. Say, you don't have to give your name, by the way. You don't have to say who you are. You don't have to be, I mean, it's good if you do, but you don't have to. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877 to give a shout out to either Dr. Brenda Green, who was on today. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful interview. It'll be in the archives. You can go back and listen to it. The archives of Betty Dobson last week, it was phenomenal as well. And all of them will be. Because what we do is we delve into the background, the upbringing, and things that you ordinarily probably wouldn't hear because people don't talk about it a great deal. But we need to know how it is that people have come to be who they are. And I always do that with my interviews. If you, I stop people right away before they get lost into, well, here's what we're doing. No. Who are you? Who are your peoples? Where you come from? You know, what's your background? Who are the influences? That's what we want to hear. And you heard it loud and clear and in a very, very penetrating way with Betty Dobson last week and Dr. Brenda Green, our phenomenal black woman today. So phones are open, 212-209-2877. Who will be next to call and give your tribute? Usually we have quite a few, so I'm a little disturbed that y'all is hanging back on me today. 212-209-2877 will give you an opportunity to call and salute either of these two phenomenal black women or to talk about phenomenal black women in your life. There are so many that I could name many, 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 many. Dr. Sharshi McIntyre is one of my favorites who helped influence me a great deal. And I am forever indebted to Queen Mother Audley Moore. Queen Mother Moore was a mentor, took me under her arms and under her wing. In fact, Queen Mother Moore, I tell the story, said that she was a brain surgeon, that she operated on constipated minds. And Ron Daniels had a constipated mind. I knew nothing about reparations. I knew I was like an educated ignoramus, which will happen when you are a victim of miseducation in these United States of America. And thank God and the ancestors, I had the privilege of encountering Queen Mother Moore, who operated on my constipated brain and helped liberate me. All right, we have a couple of callers now. Thank you. I'm so glad because I'm tired of talking. I want to hear from the listeners. And let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon. This is Hazel from Long Island.
Hi, Hazel.
Hi, I'm a big fan of yours, Dr. Daniels. I've been to several of your programs, you know, when we could go to programs at York College, I believe. And I'm a big fan of Dr. Betty Dobson. I just love her. Yes. I'm a member of CEMOTAP. I'm also a BAI member, and I support them whenever I can. I just recently sent them a check for the Duop package with Bob Law.
Oh,
and,
great.
I just love BAI, and I want to do everything I can to help them keep going for, you know, more generations.
Right. Well, we appreciate you, and thank you for taking time to call us, and there'll be many more programs. We're starting to get more events now. Virtual is fine, but we're getting to the point where we'll be able to meet each other and greet each other personally, and I look forward to seeing you in the very near future. We're going to be pushing State of the Black World Conference. We're going to D.C. in November, and it'll be all on the airways. We're going to have the greatest State of the Black World Conference ever because it's the 20th anniversary of the founding of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. And I have a special birthday that I hope we're going to be celebrating as well. So we look forward, Hazel, to seeing you there.
Yes, I'll be there.
All right, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon. My name is Felicia Soretelier, and I am saluting Betty Dobson. Both of us worked in Junior High School 231 in Queens, and I had an opportunity to meet this phenomenal woman. I'm not a member of CEMOTAP, but I've been there a few times. I've been to her house where she's had banquets and celebrations, and always her phenomenonness was to uplift women. So we've had women's celebrations just to uplift women, just to empower women. And I truly, truly love this woman on so many levels. She's the first one that made me feel as though that we as women are empowering. So I salute Betty Dobson.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you taking time and putting it in the airway and NOMO, the word, spreading it out there. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Others can call at 212-209-2877. Last week we didn't have an opportunity because the interview with Betty was so strong and so riveting, and then that piece by Fannie Lou Hamer was so strong until we just ran out of time. So I've always wanted to open up the phones for people to call and give their testimonies, and so we appreciate people doing so. Betty Dobson was last week, phenomenal black woman. Today was Dr. Brenda Green, and I hope you heard her story. This powerful woman who has two great sons, Jamal Green, whom I've not had the pleasure of meeting, you know, who is a constitutional lawyer, and then, the great Talib Kweli, who is writing his memoir, internationally known. I would call him a rap activist, someone who is committed to black people, because a lot of people sold out. Some of them sold out. I ain't necessarily hating on them. They do what they want to do. But there are others who said, look, we're not going commercial. We're not going to be calling our women bees and hoes and all that kind of stuff just to make money, or just talking about destruction and murder and killing and all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about how to take realness and make revolution. And that's what her son has done. And she doesn't really talk a great deal about it, but that is a part of who she is. And then the International Black Writers Conference, you heard Haki Madhubuti call in and give her a tribute. Again, sometimes people are not as well known, it's not as well renowned, and that's one of the reasons that if I know someone who has contributed at the level she has contributed, I felt it was important to uplift her. She's in the Black Writers Hall of Fame, and this International Black Writers Conference is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So go to just Google Black Writers Conference, Megar Evers College, and you'll be able to register, and I would encourage you to go. It is a great gathering. And to our previous caller who was talking about, you know, not just the people with the degrees and so forth, that's one of the things that Dr. Brenda Green stressed, that this is, as he said, that Sonia Sanchez says, check your ego at the door at this conference, because it's everybody. It's the people with the degrees and the people with no degrees all hanging out together, learning from each other, inspiring each other in this Black Writers Conference that is amazing. And the 16th Black Writers Conference is coming up. And just go to the website, Black Writers Conference, Megar Evers College, Google it, and you'll find the information. Others can call as we go towards conclusion, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877 will get you into the conversation. And in the meantime, as I said before, we can do two things at once. Become a WBAI Buddies. Others are calling saying that they are already members. Reach out and touch someone. Call someone right now that you know and say, Dr. Ron Danders is on the air. He's doing this James Brown routine. We got him doing. Please, please, please. Don't make the brother please so hard. It's for a worthy cause. That's what it really matters. And I'm being facetious, of course. I am a WBAI buddy because I understand it and it's important. But touch somebody. Call them. Tell them to call. Say, look, I'm a WBAI buddy. If you can join right now. And the way to do that is by calling 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. And what is being offered is a WBA for $15, that's the minimum. $10 is the minimum just to become a member, and that's $120 a year. Credit card, out of your credit card, your debit card, savings account, it's painless. Now, I'm a WBAI buddy. Every pledge drive, I started with my contribution first. I can afford it. You know, I'm not rich, but I can afford it, and I like to lead. I like to step out first and say, here is my contribution, and then ask everybody else to follow suit. I'm a WBI buddy already, but this special offer, 1 gig women's history collection, and I've emphasized, it has all kinds of stuff in it, but I've emphasized, since I'm talking about phenomenal black women, I've largely emphasized and gave some of the black women who are been involved, who are part of this. But I also uplifted Latina sister Dolores Huerta, who is a phenomenal woman, one of the co-founders and worked closely with Cesar Chavez. She is a phenomenal worker. I had the honor and privilege of working with her with the Rainbow Coalition. And, of course, Amy Goodman is in there, too. And Marty Ivins is in there as well. But I also emphasize remembering Coretta Scott King and Langston Hughes. That must be interesting. The Power of African-American Women. Miriam Makeba, Odetta, and Blues Legacy and Black Feminism. Wow, it is power-packed, worth hundreds of dollars. And you get it just by becoming a WBAI buddy, signing up for $15 or more. Call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 right now. $15 or more, attach it to your credit card, your debit card, or your savings account, and you will have a tote bag, and they will send you this incredible women's history collection that you will have forever and ever to share with your family and friends. Yes, you need to do that. Now, we can take a couple of more callers. We're almost done, but I would like to hear a couple more callers. We got time for a couple of more. Call us at 212-209-2877. Is there another who will call and give a salute to Dr. Brenda Green or to Dr. Betty Dobson? She's Dr. Betty Dobson. I'll give it to her. And or the person that you would like to salute as a phenomenal black woman. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Again, we just have a couple of more minutes left. If you'd like to call, you can get in immediately with your comment and your commentary coming up. Next week will be Dr. Zenzile Dillon, who is from South Africa, born by way of Zimbabwe, where she was born. I've learned that by just interfacing with her. She is phenomenal. She is in the financial economic development world and has paired up with Reverend Dennis Dillon. What a power couple that is. And she has her own company, her own investment company. And she's also functioned as a vice president for Barclays Bank in South Africa. And she is a phenomenal black woman. That is Dr. Zenzile Dillon will be on next week. And we hope people will be stay tuned and will call in to provide tributes for her. And then the final one will be Estella Vasquez, 1199, the powerful, awesome 1199, Dr. Martin Luther King's favorite union, Martin Luther King. And so Estella Vasquez will be our final guest in terms of phenomenal black women. And we're hoping that people from 1199 will call in as well to give her tributes as we open up the phones in the way that we have today. So again, as I close out, I want to encourage everybody, we have a couple of minutes left. Go to your phones right now. Become a WBAI buddy. I don't know how we stand. I'm nervous. I hope we at least hit 20. At least, you know, folks, come on, go to those phones. 212-209-2950. Become a WBAI buddy. Excuse me. A sustaining contributor to this enterprise, Citadel of Resistance and Transformation. Again, call 212-209-2950. As I go off the air with my throat choking up, because y'all had me talking too much today, continue to call WBAI at 212-209-2950. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels. We hope you've enjoyed our tribute to phenomenal black women, and we'll continue this series next week here on WBAI 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Dial in collaboration with ycradio.org. Call 212-209-2950. Become a WBAI buddy. See you next week. Time is really wasting. There's no guarantee.